in the book of 1 Thessalonians, and that, of course, is in the New Testament toward about the middle, more toward the end there of 1 Thessalonians. And I want to share a message with you this morning as we are preparing to officially become members of White River Baptist Church. Now, technically, we've been coming here and we've been giving our tithe money here and like that. So I guess technically we're members, but today it's going to be official. And so I want to share some things with you this morning from this passage. And so 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 is where we're going to be at. So when you find your place, if you'll stand with me, as we do every time we read the scripture, and we're going to read verse 16. And down through the end of the chapter. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 16. The scripture says, "Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." And let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're thankful for you and what you've done for us, and we're thankful for this assembly. Lord, I'm humbled, Lord, to be here amongst your people, and Lord, to sing your praises, and Lord, just what a wonderful thing it is. Now, Lord, we need you to meet with us this morning. And Lord, we didn't come here, Lord, just to hear from me. Lord, we came to hear from you. And I do pray that you'd be in our midst this morning. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this service, and I pray that you'd be very active. Lord, I pray if someone is not saved today, that they would accept you before it's too late. Help us as Christians to allow the Word of God to work on us and make us better for you. And we thank you for it now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This passage I just read to you, if you noticed, these were kind of short statements, if you will. And as you begin to read this and study this, and you understand what the Apostle Paul, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is telling the church of Thessalonica, and he's giving them some commands for the church. And so I know you've heard of the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament, right? We've all heard of that. Amen. In fact, we've been in our Sunday school class. I teach the young people, the 5th through 12th grade. We've been teaching them about the Ten Commandments. And by the way, let me say this. That's something we all ought to be familiar with. Amen. We all ought to be familiar with the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments is the bedrock of the foundation of not just Christianity, for Israel and for the law, but also for us today. Amen. And listen, they're not the Ten Suggestions, by the way. Okay? They're the Ten Commandments. And you know, God has a right, by the way, to tell us how to live our lives because He's God. Amen? And so, but this morning, I want to give you the Ten Commandments for every church member. Okay? The Ten Commandments for every church member. We could call it the Ten Commandments of the New Testament. All right? And we're getting ready to sign a charter and become members of White River Baptist Church. So I think it's important that we understand what God would expect from us as church members. Now, before I get into these, I did some research this week, and I found out, did you know that there's the Ten Commandments of marriage? Did you know that? And the Ten Commandments of marriage. And I'm sure if you look hard enough, you can find them in the Hebrew and Greek, all right, in the Bible, but I'm going to give them to you this morning, all right? So here's commandment number one of the Ten Commandments of marriage, all right? Man, I thought my wife was going to be in the nursery. That's why I was going to read these things, but she's here. Amen. All right. Uh-oh. All right, here we go. It's a good thing we're having dinner here after church and it's already made. Amen. All right, commandment number one, all right? Marriages are made in heaven, right? But so are thunder and lightning, okay? All right. Commandment number two. If you want your wife to listen and pay strict attention to every word you say, then talk in your sleep. All right? Number three. All right. Marriage is grand and divorce is at least 100 grand. Amen? All right. Number four. Married life is very frustrating. In the first year of marriage, the man speaks and the woman listens. Yeah, right. All right. I mean, in the second year, the woman speaks and the man listens. In the third year, they both speak and the neighbors listen. All right. Commandment number 5. When a man opens the door of the car for his wife, you can be sure of one thing. Either the car is new or the wife is. All right. Commandment number 6. Marriage is when a man and a woman become as one. The trouble starts when they try to decide which one. All right. Number 7. Before marriage, a man will lie awake all night thinking about something you say. After marriage, he will fall asleep before you finish. Okay. And the commandment number 8. Every man wants a wife who is beautiful, understanding, economical, and a good cook. But the law allows only one wife. Not true. Not true. Amen. All right. I got all those things. Praise the Lord. Commandment number 9. All right. Marriage and love are purely a matter of chemistry. That is why some wives treat husbands like toxic waste. None of you do that, though. I know that. That's true. All right. And then commandment number 10. A man is incomplete until he is married. After that, he's finished. Amen. Just kidding. Just kidding. Amen. All right. So those were the 10 commandments of marriage. They have nothing to do with the message. I just thought that they would be good to read. All right. Let's talk this morning and down through this, what we read this morning, the 10 commandments for every church member. Okay. Now, obviously, you know, I have 10 points. Okay. But you know that I talk fast. In fact, I've been accused of preaching at about 65 miles an hour with an occasional gust over 100. All right. And so you listen fast and I'll talk fast and we'll get to eating before too long. Amen. All right. Let me give these to you this morning. The 10 commandments for every church member. Let's look first of all at verse 16. Two simple words. Here it is. Rejoice evermore. All right. Here's the command. Look for reasons to rejoice. Okay. Look for reasons to rejoice. You know, this is the second shortest verse in the Bible. All right. Does anyone know what the shortest verse in the Bible is? All right. Say it together. You ready? There you go. This is the second shortest verse. All right. Rejoice evermore. Listen, church. Hey, look for reasons to rejoice. Let me say this. There are always reasons to rejoice. Amen. Now, listen, not only are there always reasons to rejoice, if you look hard enough, you'll always find reasons not to rejoice also. By the way, the world has mastered this art. I mean, folks, the pharmaceutical companies have made billions convincing people that there is nothing ever to be glad about. Okay? But listen, that's not what the Scripture says ought to be the attitude of Christians. Amen? Listen, God says to rejoice evermore. Hey, look for reasons to rejoice. Now, I don't downplay the fact that people go through hard times, okay? Yesterday, Brother Dave and I were out doing some follow-up visits, and we were able to speak with a lot of folks. And you know what? We came across some people that are going through some genuine hard times. I don't downplay that stuff, okay? You're going to have them, and you'll always have them. But let me say this. Even in the midst of the valleys, even through the midst of trials, there are some things you can look to rejoice and be glad about. Amen? The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. By the way, did you hear what that verse said? Rejoice where? In the Lord, right? Because if you only rejoice in your circumstances, you're probably not going to be happy all that often. Because you know what I found out living life a little bit? Is sometimes life just flat out stinks. Okay? I mean, I don't understand. In fact, just a lady that a couple weeks ago, I was helping. Many of you know I do floor covering work, and I've been helping my brother do a job a couple days a week. And I was working at this place, and the lady that was painting, I was talking to her, and I kind of knew her. And I just found out last week that she is in the hospital. Her body's full of cancer. She's never getting out of the hospital alive. And it's just like, wow. I mean, how do you go from one week being a painter to the next week, boom, you get a prognosis of, you know what, you're never going to get out of the hospital alive. Listen, folks, sometimes life flat out stinks, right? Hey, did you also notice this? Life's not always fair. Did you realize that? Okay. And the Bible doesn't say to rejoice in your circumstances. The Bible says to rejoice in the Lord. Amen? And by the way, if you look to the Lord, I promise you, you can find reasons to rejoice. Let's think about this for a minute, okay? What is the worst fear of most people? You know what it is? It's dying, right? Okay? I mean, and by the way, God built into us the power to want to live. There's nothing wrong with that, okay? I mean, hey, I'm thankful for heaven. I'm thankful I get to go, but I don't plan on leaving on the next train. All right? At least that's not what I would necessarily choose. If God chooses it for me, that's fine. But remember something, folks. People fear that. People fear about what's going to happen to them if they die. Think about this. If you're saved and you're a Christian, what's the worst thing that can happen to you? You get to go to heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Right? You get to go to heaven? I mean, folks, I don't know about you, but heaven's way better. Even though I love Southern Indiana, hey, heaven's way better than Princeton. Amen? All right? Hey, there's still sickness here, right? Y'all dealing with that kind of stuff? Okay, we all kind of are. Hey, there's still funeral homes here. There's still hospitals here. None of that stuff's in heaven. Amen? So let me encourage you, as a Christian, look for reasons to rejoice. Okay? Now listen, don't be that person that's always the glass half empty. All right? Don't be that person. Be the person that the glass is half full. Always try to find the positives. And I promise you, if you look enough, you'll find them. Amen? So number one, the first command to church members is look for reasons to rejoice. Number two, look at verse 17. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. Here's the second command. Make prayer a priority. Okay? Make prayer a priority. Now listen, folks, as the days we're living in are getting worse and worse. By the way, they are, okay? And the Bible says they're going to. The closer we get to Jesus Christ coming again, I'm telling you, things are going to start getting a little more cattywampus. Things are going to start getting a little crazy. We need God now more than ever. Alright? Folks, our church, we need God in this place. We do. Listen, folks, I don't know what you think church is, but to me it's not a game. Okay? I don't come here to play. All right? Honestly, being a pastor to me, it's not a job. You know what it is? It's a calling. Amen? It's what God's called me to do. It's what God's put in my heart. And listen, I know that I need the Lord. And let me say this, folks. Our church needs the Lord. And in order for us to make sure we let God know we need Him, we need to make prayer a priority. All right? Why do you think the devil works and fights so hard at keeping us from praying? Because he knows the power of prayer. Okay? By the way, what is prayer, by the way? Okay? Prayer is simply your communication with God. When you read the Scripture, it's God communicating with you. And when you pray, it's you communicating back to God. And listen, I don't care what the world says. I don't care what the crowd tries to say about how that if you talk to God, then it's a mental illness. I don't care what that garbage the world's spewing out. Listen, I talk to God all the time. Amen? Prayer ought to be a priority in the life of a Christian. Hey, listen, don't treat God like a spare tire. Okay? Now, I'm thankful when we need Him and we cry out to Him. He's so merciful that even maybe if we're away from Him a little bit, He'll still hear us. But let me just say this. If your only access to God is when you're facing hard times, emergency times, you're missing the whole point of the Christian life. God wants to know you on a personal level. He wants to have a personal daily relationship with you. And folks, let me encourage you. Hey, you know what we got to do? Make prayer a priority. Amen? By the way, you know the things in life that we do are important to us, right? Okay? I mean, listen, we're going to eat here in a little bit. You know why I make it a priority to eat every day? Because it's important to me. That's why. Amen? All right? Hey, you know what? As Christians, I wish we'd get a hunger for God the way we do for physical food. I wish we'd get a hunger for the Word of God and for prayer the way, I mean, listen, there ain't a day, hardly a day goes by very often that I don't put something in my mouth to feed my body. Here's the thing, as Christians, if we get the same hunger for spiritual things, let me tell you something, God would really begin working in our lives, amen? I want you to understand something, and I'm not teaching on prayer in depth today, all right, I've done it before and I'll do it again, but let me just understand, I want you to understand this, is that God, because when Christ died on the cross, Jesus bridged the gap between us and God, okay? If you study the Old Testament, do you realize the people in the Old Testament did not have direct access to God the way we do today? Okay, you study that. They had to go through that animal sacrificial system. And the only one that could go and sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat, which was a picture of atonement, of course, for sin, and also communication with God, was the high priest once a year. That was it. You know why? Because God was so holy and mankind was so sinful and Jesus hadn't died on that cross yet. But let me say this, the day that Christ died, a lot of special things happened. You know one of the things that happened, the Bible tells us, that in that temple where the Holy of Holies was, where the Ark of the Covenant was, that when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says, the veil in the temple was rent in twain. Amen. By the way, you study that veil. That wasn't just some little piece of cloth. You know that veil weighed thousands and thousands of pounds? I mean, that thing was super thick. And literally, God reached down from heaven. He ripped the veil apart. And you know what that represents? That man now has direct access to God. Amen? Now listen, you don't need your preacher to get to God. Okay? You're never going to see me put on one of these tight collars and sit in a booth and ask you to come and tell me your sin. I don't want to know what your sins are. Okay? You need to take them directly to God. Amen? You don't have to go through me to get to God. As a Christian, you have direct access to God Almighty. Amen? All right? So listen, the command God gives us is to make prayer a priority. Okay? You don't have to answer this. Ask yourself in your heart, did you spend time talking to the Creator this week? Did you? Did you even thank Him before you ate your food? I mean, come on, folks, listen. He saved us, amen, if you're a Christian. He loves us. He died for us. He wants us to have a daily relationship through prayer. So command number two, make prayer a priority. Number three, I want you to look at verse 18. Notice what it says. In everything, give thanks. Okay, here's command number three. Possess a thankful heart. Amen? Possess a thankful heart. There's two phrases that come out of my lips more than anything that as I'm conversing with people. All right? Number one, here's what I say quite a bit, and you can testify to this. I say, praise the Lord. Okay? Listen, folks, okay? Sometimes people want to, and by the way, there's nothing wrong with complimenting somebody. That's okay. I mean, there's nothing, the Bible says let another man praise you and not your own lips. Okay? But the problem is when we start letting those compliments go to our head a little bit, alright, and we start thinking, well, yeah, maybe I am this and maybe I am that. No, listen, hey, let me just say this. Just reflect it back to the Lord. Amen? Praise the Lord. Thank you. I thank you for saying that, but hey, praise the Lord for that. Amen? Listen, and number two, you know what I say more than that, or just as often as that? Thank you. Thank you. Listen to me, church. We got to learn what it means to be thankful. Possess a thankful heart. You know one of the main sins in the list of sins of the last days is unthankfulness. Did you know that? The Bible tells us that in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. It says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. And let me tell you, we're living in a day of unthankfulness. I mean, it's just expectant mentality. Nobody's thankful for anything. Listen to me, that should not be the way it is in the Church of Jesus Christ. Amen? Listen, you know you don't just have to be the month of November to be thankful. Did you know that, kids? All right? This don't have to be the month of November. By the way, just not the kids, all of us, amen? I mean, hey, let me just ask you this. Did you thank God for getting out of bed this morning? Or did you just take your health for granted? By the way, you better not take it for granted. You never know when you may not have it anymore. Did you thank God for allowing you to live in this great land of America that we live in? Did you thank Him for that this week? Did you thank God for what He's done for you? The job you have, the car you drive, the house you live in? Come on, folks, we got a whole lot to be thankful for, amen? And I promise you, when you start looking all the negatives in life and you start comparing all the positives, there's way more positives than negatives. By the way, you know what? Are you thankful you're an American, by the way? Amen. Let me tell you, I love that flag right there. I love it. If somebody decides they're going to burn that in my presence, there's going to be a problem. A problem. Okay? Listen, too many people bled and died for red, white, and blue over there for a bunch of stinking punks to disrespect it. Amen. And let me tell you, it's about time, as Americans, as Christians, we start standing for some things. Amen? I pray you stand for that thing right there. Amen? And by the way, these stinking punk people that are paid millions of dollars to play a stupid game, set an example by kneeling for that flag, they ought to kick them out and put them in a country where they don't have to kneel for it. Amen? That's how I feel about it. You say, man, that's pretty opinionated. Amen. Praise God. God has an opinion about everything, by the way. Amen? All right? Listen, I love that flag. I thank God for being American. I thank God for the price that was paid for us to live in this great nation. You ever thank the Lord for things, folks? Come on, let's have a thankful heart. Amen? Number three, possess a thankful heart. Number four, look at verse 19. Notice what he says here. Quench not the Spirit. Here's the fourth command. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Amen? Now, the Holy Spirit of God is the part of the triune Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And when you get saved as a Christian, the Bible says that He comes and He indwells your body. He lives in you. And if you're a Christian this morning, God Almighty, through His Spirit, is living in you. The Bible says your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost of God. Amen? And by the way, there's a relationship that goes on with the Holy Spirit. And that word quench there, you know what it means? It means to extinguish is what it means. And did you know that the Holy Spirit, the way God wants to speak to our hearts is through His Spirit that lives in us? And as Christians, if we're not careful, when God speaks to us about something, we'll ignore it, we'll put it off, we won't listen. And did you know you can shut the Holy Spirit of God up in your life? Did you know that? Now, I'm going to say this. He's never going to leave you. Amen? Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And we believe around here eternal security. Once saved, always saved. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you, it's not a Baptist doctrine. It's a Bible doctrine, by the way. All right? That's what we believe. But you know what I also believe? I believe that Christians can so quench the Holy Spirit of God that they can't feel Him in their life anymore. Let me tell you, that's a dangerous place to be, by the way. Amen? When you know that the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you, and you just tell Him to bug off and be quiet for so long, and He doesn't talk to you anymore, let me tell you something, church, that's a dangerous place to be in. I told you that in my life as a teenager, I got to a point where I was a Christian, I was saved, and I was in the right type of church, I was in the right kind of youth group, but I got around the wrong crowd, I began listening to the wrong music, and you know what? I went to a church camp one summer, and I sat through some good preaching like you're hearing this morning, and you know what happened? I sat through that for 2 or 3 days, and God didn't speak to me, and it scared me to death. Because I always used to remember feeling the Holy Spirit work in my heart as the Word of God was being preached. And you know what? God used that for me in my life to get right with Him. And I promised Him on that day on my knees at an altar at a church camp in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, oh God, please come back and speak to my heart. Holy Spirit, I'm sorry for offending you. I'm sorry for not listening to you. And God, if you speak to me, I'll always listen to what you say. Amen? Listen, church, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. By the way, can you hear Him talking to you right now? He wants to speak to your heart, by the way. And just because God don't speak to us in an audible voice in 2018 doesn't mean He doesn't speak. That's why it's important that we come and hear the preaching of the Word of God, because that's how it works. Amen? God will speak to you. As you expose yourself to the Bible, God will speak to your heart. So let me encourage you. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. There's an interesting story in the book of 1 Kings. It's about the prophet Elijah. Let me just read 2 verses. Let me read it to you. God said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, talking about Elijah. And great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. Listen to this. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, here it is, a still small voice. And you know how God spoke to His prophet? It wasn't through a great and mighty wind. It wasn't through a great and mighty earthquake. It wasn't through some spectacular show of fire. It was a still, small voice. And I promise you, if you'll quiet yourself, Christian, and you'll listen, you'll expose yourself to the Word of God, God will speak to your heart in that still, small voice. Amen? And I pray you'll listen to that still, small voice. All right? So be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. All right? We're making good time. Number 5. All right? Look at verse 20. Notice what he says. Another, just kind of a short saying here, verse 20. Despise not prophesying. Here's the command. Always value preaching. Okay? Always value preaching. And that word despise, it doesn't mean what we think it means. It doesn't mean to hate. That's not what it means. It means to undervalue. It means that you don't see it as important. Now listen, I don't know how to explain this to you other than just tell you what the Bible says, but God wants us as Christians to hold preaching in high regard. Why is that? Because He holds it in high regard. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 tells us that. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it's written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolishness the wisdom of the world? For after that is the wisdom of God. The world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God, listen to this, by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Listen to me, folks. Preaching is God's plan. And you know what? As Christians, we ought to have the right attitude toward it. Amen? Let me ask you a question. What's your attitude toward preaching? What's your attitude about it? I mean, right now, as I'm preaching, I'm not saying this because I'm the preacher, all right? I do as Paul said, I magnify mine office, amen? But listen, I'm just a vessel of that God's trying to use to preach the Word of God. But listen, as the Word of God's being preached right now, what's your attitude toward it? I mean, are you even here? I mean, you're here physically, but are you here mentally? Are you listening? Are you paying attention? Are you asking God, God, please speak to my heart as the Word of God is being preached? Listen to me, church. It's so important that we value the preaching of the Word of God. Amen? It's important that we value that. And again, I'm not saying it. I'm not trying to be self-serving by saying it. It's not because I want you to come here and say, wow, what a great preacher. I want you to come here and say, wow, what a great God. Amen? But as my job as a preacher, as I pray and as I study and I try to get the message God wants for me to bring to you, listen, preaching ought to help you. It ought to help your family. Amen? You ought to come to church and you ought to be challenged by the Word of God. Listen, my goal as a preacher is not to do this. Tickle, 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 tickle. Now, honestly, as a preacher, popularity-wise, it'd be a lot easier to preach things that go tickle, 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 tickle. But you know what? I wouldn't be any kind of man of God if I didn't stand up and say, thus saith the Lord. Amen? And listen, we got to preach the Word of God. We got to preach what it says. By the way, let me tell you who your best friend is. Your best friend is a preacher who doesn't tell you what you want to hear, but tells you what you need to hear. Amen? Now, I promise you, I'll preach the Word of God in truth. I'll preach it in love. I'll preach it in compassion. I won't be mean and caustic about it. But I want to tell you, I'm going to preach it in its entirety. Amen? Because that's what preachers ought to do. So value preaching. Amen? Value it. You say, well, how do I value it? Well, number one, come and listen to it. Amen? Be here. I mean, folks, we have church Sunday morning. We have it on Sunday evening. We have it on Thursday evening. Okay? And you say, man, three times a week? You say, is that biblical? Well, actually, no. You know why it's not? Because the New Testament Christians met every day. Okay? Now, I'm not going to do that to y'all because we're all busy, aren't we? Amen? I wouldn't do that to you. Let me just encourage you. Hey, value the preaching of the Word of God. All right? Value it. All right? Number six, look at verse 21. He says this, first phrase, prove all things. Okay? And that's the command to prove all things. What's that mean? It means to examine. It means to try. Let me just say this. As Christians, we need to stop being so gullible. You know how many people are swept away in false belief, swept away in false doctrine, swept away in the philosophies of this world that are so anti-God, but they convince themselves it's true. Let me tell you how you figure this out, okay? There's one thing you can examine everything with to figure out whether it's the truth or not. You know what you examine it with? This book right here, amen? Listen, as a Christian, everything I do, everything, the philosophy I have, the beliefs I have, let me tell you where it comes from, all right? It doesn't come from riserology, okay? Now, I have a little bit of that here and there, but I'll tell you if that's what it is, all right? Everything I have comes from this book right here, amen? And by the way, listen to me, folks, why should we trust the Bible that much? Because, listen, it's a proven, solid book. It's the Word of God. That's why. And as Christians, listen, we got to prove all things. Let's not be so gullible. I mean, why is there people out there that are following people who are claiming to be Jesus Christ? I mean, I didn't bring the list this morning, but I could name them to you. I mean, you know how many people down through just within the last 50 years have claimed to be Jesus Christ, have got a following, had even got people to do things like drink Kool-Aid, okay? All these crazy things they get people to do because they think that that person is Jesus. Why would they fall for that? I'll tell you why. They're not comparing things with the Word of God. So as Christians, you know what we've got to do? Prove all things. Now listen to me. Let me tell you what I want you to do as a church member here, okay? I don't want you just to take my word for it. Now, I hope that you trust me as your pastor, but I want you to understand something. If I ever say anything that contradicts that book, I hope you'd love me enough to come to me in the right attitude and say, preacher, you said something and I don't think it's scriptural. By the way, I'm okay with that. Because I don't hold myself in higher regard than that book right there, amen? Everything I preach better be spot on with that book. Now, we may have some difference of opinion about things, all right, that may not necessarily be what the Scripture says. And if that's the case, then we'll agree to disagree. But when it comes to doctrine, when it comes to the Word of God, listen to me, you better be proven it according to the Bible. Amen? That's how you stay out of false doctrine. That's how you stay out of error. Listen, I'm not a dictator, okay? I'm not. I have no interest in telling you how to live your life. Now, I'll tell you, thus saith the Lord, what the Bible says. But what you do with it is between you and God. You know why? Because when you stand before God one of these days, I'm not going to be there holding your hand. You will face your God on your own and give an account of your life, how you lived it as a Christian. Okay? But as a preacher, I'll give an account that I at least let you know what the Bible says. Amen? Alright, so listen, let me encourage you. Prove all things. Don't be so gullible as a Christian. Alright? Understand, when you hear a philosophy, like for example, okay, I'll just give you a classic worldly philosophy that's floating around out there that everybody, a lot sometimes, I've heard Christians say, and they think it sounds good. Here it is, you ready? Follow your heart. And it's usually in some love song that's got, soft music in the background. It's in most of the Disney movies, by the way. All right? You just follow your heart. It sounds kind of good, doesn't it? But you know what the Bible says about that? The Bible says your heart is deceitful and it's wicked. Who can know it? God even goes far as saying in the book of Proverbs that if you trust in your own heart, you're a fool. That's what God says. So instead of just believing a philosophy, hook, line, and sinker, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. When I hear a philosophy, when I hear something said, I'm going to compare it with what the Bible says. Amen? And I'll tell you this, God knows way better than Hollywood does. Amen? So listen, don't be so gullible. Prove all things. Number 7, look at verse 21. The second part of verse 21 says this, hold fast that which is good. Here's the principle. Hold fast to proven Bible principles. Okay? This kind of goes along with the principle right in front of it. Hold fast to proven Bible principles. There's way too much ground given up by Christians in this day and age. I mean, folks, listen. Okay? We don't decide the direction of the church based upon the culture. Okay? Because let me tell you one thing I've learned about the culture in my short 38 years of life. It's very fickle and it changes. If you don't believe that, go look at the pictures of your parents, or some of you maybe, from the 70s, right? I mean, come on, what was up with that decade, by the way? I mean, good night. I mean, there was green carpet everywhere. Everything was orange. Everything was green. Hey, man, it's so cool. You know, I mean, that was a weird decade, all right? Well, but you know what? The culture shifts. It changes. I mean, look at the hairstyles from the 70s to the poof 80s, right? Poof hair, okay? I mean, all kinds of stuff. Listen, the culture changes. But let me tell you one thing that never changes. That is the Word of God, amen? And I'm telling you, the closer we get to the end of this thing, the crazier and more abnormal this world is going to make the Bible-believing Christians seem. By the way, we're the abnormal ones now. You know why? Because we believe marriage is supposed to be between a man and a woman for life. Oh, we're abnormal for that. Oh, don't you understand? You got to keep up with the culture. They say things like that. No, what I got to do as a Christian is believe the Word of God. Amen? So listen, hold fast to proven Bible principles. There's a word in the book of Jude that says this, a verse, Jude verse 3. The Bible says, behold, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. Did you hear what he said? He says, listen, church, you've got to earnestly contend. You know what that means? You've got to fight for, notice what he said, the faith. By the way, did you notice what that word the means in front of it? Singular, as in only one. As in not multiples, okay, no plural there, the faith. You know that phrase, the faith, is mentioned over 42 times in the Word of God? So you know what that tells us? Is that there's only one way, by the way, amen? Only one. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He didn't say, I'm one of many ways. I am whatever makes you feel good this month way. No, I am the way. Amen? Let me just say this. The road to heaven is very narrow. Very narrow. Okay, I hear this all the time. Well, as long as they're sincere, you know, surely God will let them in. No, He won't. Have you ever sincerely believed something that was wrong? I have. Okay? Now, fortunately, it didn't have an eternal consequence. Let me just say this. In the Christian life, if you get it wrong concerning salvation, there are no do-overs. Okay? You know how many people are in hell this morning crying because they were deceived because they thought their way was the right way? Let me tell you, folks. Let me tell you how narrow truth is. It's as narrow as this book right here. That's just how narrow it is. Amen? That's why Jesus said that narrow is the way and straight is the gate that leadeth to life. Few there be that find it. And compared to the multitudes, compared to the masses, okay, the ones that truly believe the right way, they're far and few in between. Amen? So let me say this. As a Christian, hold fast to proven Bible principles. Yes, when it comes to salvation, but yes, when it comes to living. Amen? All right, when it comes to living. Number 8. We got just a couple more. Number 8. Look at verse 22. The Bible says, and you've heard this verse before, but let me explain it. Abstain from all appearance of evil. All right, here's what that means. All right, stay away from the gray. That's what that. No, I said that. Look at our walls. Amen. All right. I actually like gray colors. We're not talking about that. All right. By the way, what is gray? By the way, the collar gray. It's a mixture of what two colors? Black and white. Right. Okay. Let me tell you what God's word is. It's black or it's white. Okay. And when it comes to things that are gray, like maybe, okay, yeah, I'm not for sure, maybe, sort of, kind of. Listen, the Bible says to abstain not from evil, but from the appearance of evil. Here's a question, all right? Instead of asking yourself what is wrong with that, ask yourself this question. What is right with that? Right? What is right with that? Okay? I mean, if you got something that you want to do or partake in or something, a circumstance of life, and you're just not for sure, ask yourself what is right with that, all right? For example, just recently, our vice president has been attacked, has been ridiculed, because he has a rule that he will not ride in an elevator alone with another woman. Okay? And he's been ridiculed for that. You know, oh, you're just old-fashioned. You're just old fogey. I don't ever remember anyone ever calling our vice president's morality into question. Okay? Why is that? Because he set up some boundaries, set up some safeguards, and he's going to abstain from the appearance of evil. Okay? And he said, man, that sounds kind of stupid. Hey, you know what? Listen, that's the types of things the Scripture's talking about. Let me give you another silly example. All right? You may think this is silly, but this is what my mom and dad taught me growing up. Okay? How many of y'all like root beer? Okay, I like a good root beer, and I'm not a big A&W fan. My favorite's Dog and Suds, by the way. Anybody ever had that? That's some good root beer. Okay, and there was a kind of root beer and it's still out there. And I'm not against you if you drink it. I'm just telling you what my mom and dad taught me. All right, IBC root beer. I love IBC, by the way. It's good. Good tasting root beer. But here was the problem. Here's what they taught me. They used to sell, and I don't know about so much anymore, but they used to sell when I was a kid IBC in brown glass bottles. Okay. And here's the thing. Here's what my mom and dad taught me. They're like, well, we don't want you drinking that. I'm like, it's just root beer. What's wrong with root beer? All right? And they're like, well, here's the problem. All right, say you're, you know, of course I'm a kid. All right, no one's going to believe that I'm a kid. But, you know, but you're swigging on that thing. What if somebody drives by or sees you and all they see you have is this brown glass bottle drinking out of it? What do you think that they might think? Well, I guess it kind of looks like a beer bottle. Okay? And you know what my parents taught me? That, you know, if something appears to be evil, don't do it. Now, I know you could take this to an extreme. And by the way, let me just say this, okay? I'm not worried about other people's opinion about things. Some people would say that me wearing a suit is evil. All right? I'm not talking about those types of things. I'm talking about things that are clear cut, amen? And the Bible says if there's a question about it, you're better to abstain from the appearance of evil. Amen? By the way, you know what? As Christians, a lot of times, there's not too many people being accused of doing too right. Most people are accused of crossing the line and doing some things they shouldn't do. Amen? So we ought to, as the Bible says, abstain from the appearance of evil and stay away from the gray. All right? Let me give you another one here. Look at verse 25. Number 9 is this. Pray for your spiritual leaders. Okay? Look what he says in verse 25. Brethren, pray for us. Now, we've already talked about prayer. Let me just say this. Specifically, he's talking about your spiritual leaders. Okay? Now, church, I told you this before, and I mean it, and I practice it. I pray for you on a very regular basis. Okay, this morning, I was up very early, and I was calling out your names. I was calling out your children's name. I pray for my people. By the way, that's what I'm supposed to do as a pastor. Amen? All right, I pray for you. And why is that? Because my job as a pastor, the Bible says, is to watch for your souls. It's my job to try to be a spiritual leader for those who want me to be, okay? And so I pray for you. But here's the thing. Here's what I need from you. I need you to pray for me. I need you to pray for my family, okay? Let me just say this, okay? The devil hates all Christians, but he especially hates preachers. He hates preachers. You know why? Because when a preacher goes down, it leaves a bad taste in everybody's mouth, don't it? Okay? I mean, folks, God forbid I would fall into sin. I tell you, our church would be the ridicule of this community. Okay? Now listen, I need your prayers. Amen? I'm not whining. I knew what it was when I signed up for it. I'm just asking you to pray for me, please. Pray for my family. Call us out to the Lord. Amen? Listen, prayer is so important. And the command here is to pray for the spiritual leaders. All right? Pray for them. And then last of all, let me give you the last one. Look at verse 26. Now, when I read this, don't freak. All right? I'm going to explain it to you. All right? Look what it says. Greet all the brethren with the holy kiss. Now, some of you teenage boys are like, yes. All right? No, let me explain it. All right? Okay? What that was a culture thing. Okay? Back in Bible times, here's how we do it culturally. All right? Just like we did this morning. How you doing? Right? I mean, aren't you glad our culture isn't anymore? Oh, man. Ugh. All right. I got a great story about that, by the way. Okay. I went on a missions trip one time in 2001. And I went with, of course, my wife and I, we were in college, but we went with my church and that I was from. And we went to Monterrey, Mexico. And when we went there, and we all got a bunch of teenagers and young people. And the teenagers from Mexico came to greet our teenagers, okay? And the girls came, and the girls did the customary thing to the girls. You know, they kissed them on either cheek, all right? That's what they did back then. Well, I noticed as I was standing there next to my pastor, there was a buzz going alongst all the boys. And they're just like, and then finally they said, "Preacher, if any of them boys come over there and try to kiss me, I'm going to kiss them back with this right here." Amen. We're talking about Southern Indiana farm redneck boys, all right? Ain't no boy going to kiss me on the cheek. Amen. Yeah, I'm good for that, by the way, all right? Okay, that's not our custom. Let me tell you what he's talking about here. Here's the principle. Make everyone at church feel welcome. Okay? Let me tell you what I'm telling people about our church as I go out in the community. I say it all the time. Number one, we teach and preach the Bible. That's number one. Number two, we're friendly. Okay? That's what we're kind of known for. All right? And as I'm out visiting, people tell me that. Okay? Now listen, they expect the pastor to be nice to them. I mean, hello, that's what I'm supposed to do, right? Okay? But let me tell you what really makes an impression. When the church folks are nice to them and you make them feel included, and you talk to people, you greet them, all right? I mean, God forbid they sit where you normally sit and you don't walk up and stare at them, you know? What is it about we Baptists and where we always sit at? What in the world, all right? I mean, you notice me. Look at me on Sunday morning. I'm everywhere. I mean, in fact, Jason and Roseanne told my seat this morning. No, just kidding. They asked me before the service, "Are we sitting in your seat?" And but no, listen, folks, hey, make everyone at church feel welcome. Amen? You know, everybody in life's going through a hard time. You know what they need to come to? They need to come to a church where it's like an oasis. Okay, where they can come here and they can just take a, wow, I feel something different here. People actually are real. I mean, they're talking to me. I mean, they don't even know me, but they act like, you know, they've known me forever. If you ever looked out on our sign and what it says out there, you know what the motto of this church is? A church with a heart for people. Let me tell you, folks, if we're not about reaching and helping other people, why are we here? I'm not about starting another social club, folks. Now, we have a lot of fun here. We do social things here. But it's not just about, oh, yeah, let's come together and blah, blah, blah. No! We're here to help people, amen? And listen, church, I need your help on this. And by the way, you do a great job. Thank you, by the way, amen? And most of our visitors, in fact, everyone I've ever talked to said, wow, we felt a welcome there. We felt like people loved us and cared about us. Listen, that's what we're supposed to do, amen? The 10 commands for every church member. Number one, look for reasons to rejoice. Number two, make prayer a priority. Number three, possess a thankful heart. Number four, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Number five, always value preaching. Number six, prove all things. Number seven, hold fast to proven Bible principles. Number eight, stay away from the gray. Number nine, pray for your spiritual leaders. And number 10, make everyone at church feel welcome. Amen? So you got 10 points in about 35 minutes, all right? You good? Everybody okay? Amen? All right, let's pray.